Hi, this is Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth. Before we begin today's Revive Our Hearts, think about this. What does it mean to truly fall in love with Jesus? We're going to be exploring that theme here on Revive Our Hearts starting February 22nd and going all the way through Easter. We'll be in a series on the Song of Solomon called How to Fall and Stay in Love with Jesus. And to get ready for this series, I hope you'll get the companion resource we've developed, a booklet that goes along with each day of the series. We'll send you a copy of the booklet when you make a donation of any amount to support the ministry of Revive Our Hearts. So I hope you'll get a copy, listen to the series each day, and dig into the Song of Songs using this booklet as a tool. As you do, I think this could be one of the most meaningful Easter seasons you've ever experienced. So to make your donation, give us a call at 1-800-569-5959 and ask for the booklet, How to Fall and Stay in Love with Jesus. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or you can visit us online at reviveourhearts.com. Now, one woman who definitely knew what it meant to be growing more and more in love with Jesus was the late Vonette Bright.
It's impossible to really develop an intimate relationship with the Lord without spending time in the Word. I think sometimes we think we can run in and out of God's presence, but to really get to know God, you need to spend time with Him.
We're remembering Vonette Bright here on the Revive Our Hearts podcast. I'm Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth. As you know, the burden and the mission that God has given us here at Revive Our Hearts is to encourage women in particular in their walk with the Lord, to help them find freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ. In fact, there's a passage in the New Testament that gives us a summary of our curriculum and what it is that we're trying to accomplish as women. Do you remember when Paul said to Titus, talking about how the local church was to be structured, how people were to be discipled and grow in their faith? And then he began talking about the teaching and the ministry role of women in the church. And he speaks first about older women. He says that older women are to be reverent in their behavior. They're not to be slanderers. They're not to be addicted to much wine. They're to have self-control. So he talks about the character that godly older women are to have. But as you know, getting to be godly isn't something that just happens overnight. It involves a process, and there's time and effort and discipline involved in getting there. And one of the provisions God has made for younger women to become godly older women is that the older women are to help the younger women learn what it means to walk with God and to fulfill His purposes. So Paul goes on to say in Titus chapter 2 that those older women who walk with God are then to teach other women. And what are these older women supposed to teach the younger women? Well, it's to love their husbands and their children, to be self-controlled, to be pure, to be working at home and kind and submissive to their own husbands. And here's the bottom line, so that the word of God may not be reviled. That's so people will think well of God and of His truth. Well, when I think about that process in Titus chapter 2, I think about some of the women that God has used in my own life to help me develop a heart and a hunger and a love for the Lord Jesus, and to help me become more fruitful as a woman of God. And really close to the top of my list of women who've influenced my life would be my lifelong friend, mentor, and second mother, Vonette Bright. Vonette went home to be with the Lord on December 23rd, just about 5 weeks ago. And this week, we're remembering her legacy. Vonette loved being called Mrs. Bill Bright. She was a guest here on Revive Our Hearts shortly before her husband died over a decade ago. I want to play some of that conversation I had with her so that you can hear the heart of a woman who really loves her God. Vonette, thank you so much for your willingness to join us here on Revive Our Hearts this week. I love you. I thank the Lord for you. And I just consider it a privilege for us to have these moments to sit in your living room and to just talk about what God has taught you in your walk with Him. So thank you for joining us.
Nancy, you know you're about as near a daughter as I could possibly have, and I really love you so much, and I have admired you through the years, even as a child, your maturity, and of course your parents being such very, very good friends. So I guess I've treated you just many times as if you were my own daughter. When you remind me of some of the things that I have said to you from time to time.
We were talking about that this morning. I was telling you some of the very practical things you had taught me when I was a little girl, and I said only a mother could say those kinds of things, but I'm so thankful
for
it.
Well, I treated you as a daughter. I was very eager to see you successful. I was very eager to see you pretty. I was very eager to see you mannerly and to be a lady.
I remember you telling me when I was about 12, Nancy, we need to do something about your hair.
Oh, my.
And I'm so glad you did.
As a 12-year-old, I don't know. It was just that you were in that in-between kind of
right.
Tacky stage that girls go through.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it and didn't care,
but you helped me.
You were a cute little girl, but we were trying to get you ready for your teenage years, I think.
And you did so well, and I thank the Lord for a lot of practical and wise things that you have taught me over the years. You are a lover of the Lord and a lover of people, a lover of your family, and you have brought under your wings a lot of younger women through the ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ that you and Bill co-founded in 1951 and have had such a mentoring, discipling, training ministry in many ways through just your example. And then also as you've been so gracious to invest your life in training and teaching other women how to walk with the Lord. And I want to talk about, first of all, just this matter of a walk with the Lord, what that means, and in your own spiritual pilgrimage, what have been some of the highlights? And Vonette, I think that Christian women today really are eager and hungry to know how they can have an intimate, fruitful walk with God. You've walked with the Lord for many years, and I want us to just explore some of the things as you look back on your Christian journey, some of the things that have been most important to you in obtaining and maintaining a walk with the Lord. Because I think a lot of people are really, though they have a relationship with Christ, it's something that for many is they endure rather than enjoying. And I look at you as a woman who loves knowing Christ and walking with Him. For example, I know that the Word, the Scripture, has played such a crucial role in your spiritual journey. You quote from it often. You came to me this morning and said, what did you read in the Word this morning? And you were quick to tell me how the Lord had met with you in His Word. Tell us about how you developed the habit of getting into the Word. Is that a daily habit for you? And why has it been such an important part of your life?
Well, actually, it's impossible to really develop an intimate relationship with the Lord without spending time in the Word.
Hmm.
And I think sometimes we think we can run in and out of God's presence in 2 or 3 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever.
Like we do fast food restaurants.
Yes. And that doesn't mean that those times are not important. Mm-hmm. And it's a beginning. But to really get to know God, you need to spend time with Him, to read His Word, to meditate on what it has to say, to make some notes on what it means to you. I like to study with a commentary. And this has all been a growth process. Mm-hmm. I didn't start out immediately just being able to spend long periods of time in the Word. First of all, I married a very successful businessman, and I was also teaching school at the same time, and we were very involved in our church. So time was really mm-hmm. of essence. To find time to really study, I had to really work at it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very dear friend who received Christ about the same time I did. She had 2 children. She was at home. She was a full-time mom, and her children were away from school a lot, and she had such a hunger for the Word, and she was able to spend hours. She would come by and pick me up in the afternoon after school. I didn't drive, so I either took the bus or Bill came to pick me up, and so she would have her Bible and tell me as she was taking me home that would tell me what she had learned that day. She had a Scofield Bible, and she was just devouring it. And I was learning so much from Louise that she was learning.
Yeah.
She didn't have any idea that she was teaching me mm-hmm. so much, but I was learning in the fellowship that we had together.
And you were really developing a hunger.
So good. Yes, I was developing a hunger as well. And then we were asked to teach a 9th grade Sunday school class, and so I suggested that we would do this together. Well, it turned out she had a class and I had a class. We were teaching the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were studying somewhat together. That really caused me even more to get into the Word of God, the responsibility of teaching someone else.
Right.
Then when we started Campus Crusade, I was still had been a Christian just about 2 years, 2.5 years. So I was so unprepared for what we were going to be doing. And the Navigators were actually doing the first follow-up of our ministry. Mm-hmm. That they didn't have a campus ministry at that time, but there were young women, because we didn't have anyone to follow up with the women, there were young women who were doing some of the discipleship at that time. So they were spending a lot of time with me, teaching me to memorize the Word and teaching me to use the B rations and the Bible studies that they were doing. And that was wonderful. Mm. I remember telling Bill, as I was having time to study the third year that we were married, and I remember having the time of my life being able to spend adequate time with God and in study. And I was learning so much, and I'd say, Bill, look at this. Look what I just learned. Mm. I was so excited about what I was learning, and I felt like it was the place marked X for me. Henrietta Mears used to talk about that place marked X. And so I knew that it was God's will and plan that I join my husband in ministry. And then if I was going to be giving out, I so most assuredly had to be taking in. So it was a question and answer, just beginning to learn the Word. And, oh, I've done all kinds of different kinds of studies. I like to read through the Bible once a year. And a good way to do that is a one-year Bible that puts you into the Old Testament, the New Testament, mm-hmm. the Psalms and Proverbs mm-hmm. each day. And you can kind of gauge yourself in terms of how you're getting along. And if you miss a day or you don't get quite all of it done, you can catch up at another time. But it helps you to get through the Bible in a quick fashion, but you're gaining the Word of God at the same time, applying it to your life.
And I want to talk about the whole area of prayer. I know that that's been a real theme of your life and ministry. You've been very influential in the national prayer movement for revival and for this nation. But before you started heading up the National Day of Prayer Task Force and some of those more visible areas, you were learning to pray.
Well, prayer was a very vital part of my life. First of all, I had gone to church a lot. Well, I was brought up in the church, but God was not a reality in my life until I consciously, as an adult, asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and take control of my life. Mm,
which was shortly before you married Bill Bright.
Yes, and it was Bill's influence, of course, and it was Henrietta Mears that actually led me to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But I was with a part of what Bill called, it was a deputation group that went to jails and road camps and hospitals and into churches, sharing their faith, mm-hmm. challenging people to make Christ a reality in their lives. And they met on Friday nights and prayed about what they were going to do. They had different teams. They'd come together for Bible study and prayer, and then they'd get their assignments. There was some training that was going on at the same time, and then they'd get their assignments as to where they would go the next week. And then we'd come back on Friday night. Well, here were these, many of them brand new Christians, but many of them were mature Christians. And they had a prayer meeting like I'd never been in before, ever. And they prayed as if God was real and was listening to them, that they prayed very specifically in modern language about what they wanted.
No these and thous.
No, they just poured out their hearts. And then they pled with God about, you know, they're voicing their concerns. And then they thanked him that they were going to see the answers. Mm. You know, as a young Christian coming into this group, I spent most of the time trying to word what I was going to say so I wouldn't sound like a...
We've all done that.
Yeah.
sound theologically correct.
Well, yes, that it would sound logical and that I wouldn't be giving away the fact that I was such a new Christian. And I had learned to pray in church with the these and thous, and it was very refreshing to me that I could pray in modern English. But I did much of my spiritual growing, the early days, in that prayer meeting, because I learned to pray specifically, I learned to talk with God as my best friend, and I learned to see that he answered specific prayer. And as we were talking about, you know, praying about it, they'd come back the next week, and everybody was reporting what they saw. and seeing the way in which God was working in their lives. And so God became a real person to me. Mm. I realized that he was so much more eager to reveal himself to me than I was even to know him, mm. but that God reveals himself largely through prayer. He proves himself real. He proves himself adequate. He proves how faithful he is. And as we ask and we receive, our faith takes quantum leaps.
Yeah.
So I can remember one of the first verses of Scripture that was my first life verse was Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, you see, that's King James Version that I memorized at that time. But I remember specifically the morning. There was a wedding that evening, and I was supposed to be taking care of the guest book. And I only had little bridesmaids-type dresses and I wanted something. I was getting a little more mature, and I wanted something a little more sophisticated. And I had several formals because I had been a number of weddings, and that it was at that time we were wearing more formal dress. But I didn't have anything that I thought was appropriate mm-hmm. for that wedding. And I went to my closet to look, and it was as if the Lord said, "Why don't you spend some time with me before mm-hmm. you make this decision?"
Mm-hmm.
So I found a comfortable spot, and I got my Bible, and I was reading, and reached somewhere in that reading, Matthew 6. And all of a sudden, you know, that verse popped out at
yeah.
me that I want to seek God first. It's so much more important than what I'm going to wear, mm-hmm. as that whole passage says.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to the closet after I'd had my quiet time, and I just said, "Lord, what is there in here that I can wear? What can I alter? What can I do?" And so I had a little green kind of a marquisette dress that had puff sleeves and a ruffle. And all of a sudden I saw I could cut that little neckline out. It had a neckline, a jewel neckline that was a yoke. It was not too low, and I could cut that yoke out or that center out, and I could cut away the puff sleeves, and I had the ruffle over my shoulders, and it was kind of a little off-shoulder dress and perfect for the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I thought, God, that's just so wonderful that you would do this for me. And so I began to find God a reality. It's not enough just to read the word, but how are we applying it in our lives? What does it really mean? What have I read today that I can truly apply? And that's the excited Christian, the person that has gained a nugget that they can apply and then pass on to another. And so I always try to pass on what I learned
mm-hmm.
that day. It's more your own. And there are lots of pegs that I could point to of times when passages of Scripture became very real to me and that I could believe and act upon that have been life-changing kinds of examples and calls for me. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And as you became a mother and Bill's
yes.
lives became even busier
mm-hmm.
Than they were in those early days. And even in later years now, your travel schedule and the demands of busy ministry life, but in those early days with your family, was it hard to keep that time
yes,
that the Lord carved out?
Very difficult to keep a consistent time. In fact, our lives have never been routine. We've
mm-hmm.
Always had, I couldn't be sure that the hour that I was going to wake up or that, of course, with the children going to school was a little bit more of a routine for them. But I've had quiet time every hour of the day and night.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time when daytime was just so impossible that I had to say, "Lord, you wake me up when I've had enough sleep. And I'll know that I'm to go get my Bible, go into the living room or go, you know, away from where I wouldn't be disturbing Bill, but to a place to study." And we had a library and a big wingback chair that became my little sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd take my Bible into the library, sit and read. And sometimes I was there, as much as 3 hours. And I'd go back to bed. I didn't miss the sleep. It was amazing.
Hmm.
There were times that I'd go in and I'd maybe be there 10 or 15 minutes. And I have learned that the purpose is to meet God. And you might meet him in 15 minutes. You might get the very nugget that you really need. You might know that you have met with him. And he says, "Go to sleep," or "Do the task."
Mm-hmm.
Or you know that you are free, that he has released you, that you can do what he wants you to do, mm-hmm. or whatever seems to be the need. But I always try to stay with the Word until I know I have met with Him.
So say a word of encouragement to the mom who's got three preschoolers, or she's homeschooling several children, yeah. and she just feels tired all the time.
Oh, boy.
And God isn't seeming real to her as you describe He is to you.
Well, it sometimes is a struggle. You have to struggle for that time. But I learned to listen to tapes, mm-hmm. to minister to myself. Be a self-feeder. Find mm-hmm. ways in which you can feed yourself. I had a tape recorder in my bathroom so that while I was... You can't really take a bath and listen very easily, or you can't run water and listen, whatever. But in fact, we still keep a tape recorder in our bathroom so that we can listen to tapes or music or mm-hmm. whatever. And I think keep praise music on your radio. If you mm-hmm. don't have a wonderful Christian radio station, that's great. But if not, on your sound system, have CDs with praise. It just adds such a difference to the whole atmosphere of your home and to your heart. And when you're discouraged or unhappy or things start tumbling in on you, put that praise music on. It's helpful. But I find with messages that people are giving or Bible studies that you can have, it's wonderful to have scripture tapes
yes.
to listen to. And that's another way of spending your time. I've had one tape recorder in my kitchen. So while I'm doing dishes or doing the domestic kind of thing, I can listen to scripture. I have had verses of scripture in my windowsill above my sink that mm-hmm. I'm memorizing. I've had prayer requests on a ring that I can go through praying for specific things. So you have to be a little bit creative to get that time alone, but just think of it as in terms of developing an intimate relationship with God. Don't be too hard on yourself if you don't get it, or if you miss a day, or you miss some time. The Lord knows that. But try to make it a matter of discipline. At this point, if I don't have time in the Word, my day just doesn't go right.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I haven't had a meal. You know, it's just like you would go without breakfast, and you suddenly realize, well, I haven't eaten today.
And you know, it's not just the daily thing. One of the things as I look, Vonette, at a woman like you who is now in your 70s, and I see the benefit. And as a younger woman, this is incredibly challenging to me. I see the fruit in your life of years of that kind of habit. So it's not just that each individual day has been improved, but now I'm seeing a sweetness and a freedom as you're walking through some difficult life circumstances in this season of life. But those years of the foundation that have been laid, you're reaping that fruit.
It's true that you find out even more the reality of God in your life. And when you face any kind of a crisis,
mm-hmm.
to recognize that God's Word is there. And I've had to search the Word sometimes for, you know, some answers. You know, as I've consistently read, I've prayed, Lord, I know that You're going to be adequate for this time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And rejoicing and praising Him, even though I don't have some of the answers, that I know that He's going to give me what I need when I need it, that God is sufficient for our every need. And it's only by His grace that I'll get through this or that I can face the issue. I've learned not to look very far ahead, just to live for today.
Mm.
And sometimes we can be defeated and discouraged because we're wanting to know what's going to happen day after tomorrow or 3 months from now and so on. And I've been one that has projected myself far ahead. In fact, when Bill and I were first married, I would say, now, honey, are we going to do such and such in July? And Bill said, well, honey, I don't know what we can do in July. Well, now, wait a minute. We should begin to plan right now what we're going to do in July, because that's what my parents did. They planned several months ahead in terms mm-hmm. of vacations or what was going to happen with the children or some kind of a project.
Sounds like Bill was a little more spontaneous.
And so he would say, let's see how the Lord leads. How do we know what's happening at that point?
Uh-huh.
Many times I've seen my parents plan and then it not work out. And then they were very disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Bill would say, well, let's see how God leads. Well, that was part of my learning process, to trust the Lord. I realized that nobody knows. You know, we don't know what tomorrow holds. But we know who holds that tomorrow, and we can trust Him in every aspect. I guess the thing that if you mark any one difference in my life now than in earlier years would be, I have learned that God is trustworthy. Mm. I can trust Him to come through for me. I can trust Him to give me what I need when I need it, that I don't need to be worried about what's going to be taking place or anxious. And that wonderful passage in Philippians yes. 4, you know,
don't
be anxious for nothing. Yeah, don't worry mm. about anything, but in everything, give thanks.
Are you a natural worrier? Or
I am. I am a natural worrier. I'm anxious. I can be very anxious about situations.
You have to do that since your husband doesn't do it. Somebody's got to do it for him, right?
Well, we've been, well, you know, God makes this kind of couple, a balance
yeah,
as
right.
a couple. And I think, you know, women are the nesters. And we do think farther ahead. And we
care about the details.
The details. And we think of the implications of mm-hmm. different kinds of things. We're sensitive to the needs of people around us. And I think that's why God made us a little bit more intuitive and made us such a compliment to men. And men are getter doneers. They are looking at the bottom line. They are
conquerors.
Thinking of what it's going to do to advance. And mm-hmm. that is, if we as women don't rob them of some of those kinds of things. I believe that's what it is to be a helpmate and a companion and a partner with the person that God's given you to spend your life.
Over 10 years ago, I had the opportunity to record that interview with Vonette Bright. She went home to be with the Lord on December 23rd, 2015, and this week we're remembering her influence and her legacy. If you missed any of the program, you can hear it at reviveourhearts.com. Vonette knew what it meant to go through personal tragedy and to watch as people that she loved suffered. Tomorrow, we'll hear more of this conversation and see how the Lord walked with her through these tough situations. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Wogglemuth is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.